Good evening, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When God destroyed this world with water in the days of Noah, God promised man that he will not destroy this world ever again by water. He did not promise man that he will not destroy this world ever again. He promised that he will not destroy this world ever again by water. Man now lives in this world in a manner that is like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. This had been prophesied by God's prophets, by God's servants in the past. This should not cause God's people to be taken by surprise. We must not be ignorant of what is happening in this world. This world is a beautiful world. The scenery, the mountains, the sunrise and the sunset. And yet there are times when this world is also a dangerous world. Earthquake, tsunamis, typhoons, blizzards. Why is this world like this? On one hand, it can look so beautiful. Look at the many pictures and photographs that we have taken on our holidays that you can glean from the internet. The beautiful sceneries, it's so peaceful. It looks so harmless. And yet there are also many pictures that describe this world as very deadly. Why can't this world be a world without all these destruction? Why must this world hurt man? Why can't man live in a world where there is no harm or danger? Why is this world fraught with so much hurt and pain and destruction? Is it because God has forgotten this world, that he has allowed this world to run on its own? Of course not. God had never deserted this world. The world is in such a bad state. It's because of man. God is not the problem. The problem is man. When God created this world was very good. This world was a world of beauty only. There was no death. There were no thorns and thistles. It was a beautiful world where man was put to dominate, to take care, to take charge of the world that God had created for man to live in. A world that was designed to not hurt man, but for man to enjoy, for man to live in peace. But tragically, sadly, man fell into sin. And we know that man has fallen into sin, and men are still in sin because of death. And when man fell into sin, and since man was put in dominion over God's creation, the world will now be affected by sin because of man. And unless and until man is restored to the fullness of the image of God, this world will continue to be plagued by destruction because of man's transgression. And that is why this world will continue to hurt and harm man, because man has sinned against God, his creator. It's because of man that this world is in such a sad state of destruction. You look at this world of ours. If it was a world without destruction, without thorns and thistles, and man is full of sin and wickedness and evil, this world would not last. This world would destroy itself much, much sooner than what we see the world to be today. You and I know that man had to work hard in order to survive. Man had to work very hard in order to bring food on the table. Because when man is working hard, man would not have time to devise more evil and sin. What do people do after work? They go to clubs, they drink, they commit more transgressions. Despite the fact that they are allowed to work hard, they should be exhausted. But instead, man created all the comforts of the working environment so that even a hard day's labor of 8 to 10 hours, man still find within him sufficient energy to commit transgressions. After work, they should have gone home. They should go home and rest so that their tired body should be recharged for another days of hard labor, so that man is not supposed to have time to sin. But because man made life so comfortable, the working environment is air-conditioned, they designed tall buildings with elevators. If the tall buildings were without elevators, and if your office is on the 40th floor, and imagine if every day you have to walk 40 floors up, at least 2-3 times a day, and then when you want to go home, you're going to walk down. Every day is like this. By the time you finish your 8-10 hours of workday, I guarantee you, you will have no more energy to sin. You want to go home and rest your aching feet and your aching thighs. True? But man has invented the lift, the elevator. And not only that, even 1-2 floors, men will not want to climb the steps. They have invented the escalator. So they just stand there and the steps will move on its own. So that we can save all our energy that after work, we can use it to sin. Isn't that true? Isn't that the way of life? And so when darkness comes, man has invented lights. So that even after work, when darkness sets in, they're supposed to go home. But now because man has invented lights, so many lights have been lit along Orchard Road that if you walk along it, it's like daytime. So what do men do? They sin. If there was no light, no electricity, after dark, you want to go home. So that man will not sin. Man will stop sin or sin less. That's why this world is now ripe for destruction by fire. Because when Jesus Christ warns us, prophesied to us, that this world will be destroyed by fire, as 2 Peter tells us, this was prophesied by God 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago for man to increase in his evil and wickedness for the past 2,000 years. You just imagine how ripe this world is right now for God to send fire from heaven to destroy it, just as he did in the days of Noah when the sins of man were full. And God said, enough. I have to intervene and I have to destroy so that man may start afresh. And that's what God did. And God gave man a new start after God destroyed the world with water. But did man learn his lesson? No. Even after God cut down man's life on earth by tenfold, man used to live on this earth up to the age of 800-900 years. But because man was evil, allowing man to live 800-900 years, designing sin after sin after sin. Imagine a rapist with 600 to 700, 800 years of practice. Just imagine the hurt and the damage. If you are a murderer, if you are a great, powerful leader like Hitler and Mao Zedong with absolute, total dictatorial power, and you are allowed to live 800, 900 years, just imagine the kind of damage they could do. Because only death could remove these people from their seat of power. They're not going to give it up. They surrounded themselves with mighty armies and men. That the moment that they think you are a threat to them, they will kill you and wipe out your whole families. That's why only death could remove these individuals. And that's why God cut down the age. No longer will man be allowed to live 800-900 years. God will now reduce it by 10 times. 80 years and 10, and by reason of strength, increase it by another 10. And yet, you look at the First World War, the Second World War, and look at what is happening to our world today, even though man could only live 80 years and 10, the damage they could do in the few decades of lives that they have on this earth. Don't ever, ever forget this truth, that this world of ours, as prophesied by our Heavenly Father, it is reserved for destruction by fire. If your hope is in the world, and you call yourself a Christian, then understand this. That's all you are, a professing believer with no truly born-again experience. Because you must never put your hopes in this world. It is hopeless. Just like you would not want to take from the rubbish, the refuse bin, anything that is inside the rubbish bin, and you will consider them as precious. It is reserved for destruction by fire. Just like everything in the refuse bin that is reserved for destruction by fire, this whole earth, that anything that comes out of it is like the refuse. It stinks. It stinks with sin and the wickedness of men. And God says it is reserved for destruction by fire. Don't forget this. It will come. It will never, never not come. You look at verse 1 and verse 2. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds, like a baker stirring up the dough, preparing to bake a cake. Stir it up. Wake it up fully. Don't let it slumber. Don't let it fall asleep. Don't let it doze off. Stir up the pure minds, because only believers have pure minds. Minds that have been tested by God as genuine. That's why the word pure minds are used. Not just any minds. Because if you want to stir up the minds of an unbeliever, it's no use. It is as hard as concrete. It cannot be stirred, because it is a dead mind. A mind that is captured by sin, a mind that is slave to sin, a mind that is blind. No use. No matter how you shake it and stir it, nothing will come out of it. Because the instrument to stir it is described for us by way of remembrance. So the instrument to stir it is bring to remembrance. An unbeliever's mind had never learned anything about God, about the destruction of this world. And so using this instrument to bring to remembrance something that had never had any knowledge before it, there is nothing to bring to remembrance, something that is empty. That's why only those who have pure minds, those who have already been taught, those who already knew, those who have already heard the teaching of Christ. Because Christ had already mentioned this when he was on earth, about the destruction, about the great tribulation, about his soon return. That's why Peter says, I want to stir your pure minds so that you will never, never forget, so that you will always remember that it will come, the destruction of this world by fire. It will come. Because it is done and it is promised, it is guaranteed, it is prophesied by God himself, as you can see in verse 2. That ye may be mindful of the preached words, the written words, the declared words, which were spoken before, that is, prophecies, foretelling. That's the meaning of the phrase, spoken before. By whom? By the holy prophets, and also of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord, including our Savior. They are the apostles of Christ, apostles of our Lord, and they have already mentioned it in the New Testament scriptures in conjunction with the Old Testament prophets. And there are more verses pertaining to the second coming of Christ than the first coming, because of the urgency, because of the deadly nature of the second coming of Christ. Because this global destruction means that once it happens, it will never, never, ever again be ruled by man the way that it had been. That's why it is known as the last days in verse 3. Know that it will take place. God never lies. He cannot lie. He is God. And so once it is written in Holy Scriptures, you can rest assured that it will become a reality. And no matter what the world may tell you, no matter what the evidence of the world may appear to you, you must remember that this global destruction that Christ and the apostles and the prophets had prophesied will become a reality one day. And it will not be changed. The judgment of God in the Bible are basically two types. One kind of judgment, it will change if you repent. An example of that was the judgment that Jonah prophesied in the city of Nineveh. He prophesied that within 40 days, this city will be destroyed. But the king and the people, including the animals, they repented. And the judgment was taken away by God because of His grace and His mercy. They repented. But there are other judgments. Once God declared it, it will come to pass regardless. Because those kinds of judgment, when it comes into pass, the generation that will receive that kind of judgment will be a generation that will not repent. That means those judgments that God had prophesied that will not change means that that generation that will face and experience the wrath of God, they will deserve it. They will not repent. They cannot repent. And so when God tells us that the global judgment by fire will become a reality, it means there will be a generation that will not repent. As children of the living God, if you have a pure mind, let the instrument of remembrance stir it so that you will never forget, and you will know in your heart of hearts that as you go through your life in whatever state or condition that you are in right now on a day-to-day basis, you must always remember at the forefront of your mind that this world is going to be destroyed by fire. I must never put my hope or my aims or my aspirations in anything that is earthbound. That means I must not propel my children to just simply study the knowledge of the world. They must always study the Word of God that will give them eternal life. Because if you do not do that and you continue to propel them only in the knowledge of the world, then ask yourself, do you have a pure mind? Because when the Spirit of God does this, using the instrument of remembrance to stir it up, every truly born-again believer with the pure mind will be stirred up. But if your mind is not stirred up and you keep forgetting, you keep allowing the voices of the world to bombard you and to impact you so much so that you only live for the things of the world. As parents toward your children, as an employee in the world, or as an employer in the world, please ask yourself, do I have a pure mind? Because only those who have a pure mind will remember and never forget. Because it is found throughout the whole Bible. And the Bible called this the last days. The last days of man's rule on this earth. Because upon the destruction of this earth, man will never be allowed by God to rule this world again. God will say, enough is enough. I'm not going to allow sinful man to mess up my world, the home that I have given to man, ever again. The Lord Jesus Christ will take over and he will rule the same earth that God will recreate after the destruction by fire, and Christ will rule for 1,000 years. Man will never be allowed to rule. That's why it is called the last days. Last days of man's rule, the way that we have always known this earth, in its divided nations, nation fighting against nations, bickering and fighting over dirt. That's exactly what we are seeing today in the oceans, in this part of the world. China occupying a tiny little piece of earth in the middle of nowhere and start building and building buildings that are supposed to be filled with armaments and weapons of war, as reported. For what? To have more dirt? Over what? More dirt? Because that's what empires of men have always been. Enlarging your empire so that you can occupy more dirt. Because that's exactly what earth is. Or you think that your piece of dirt is worth a few million dollars? Money is vanity. Money is just pieces of paper, and the value is there, put there by man, not by your God. It is only good to purchase more dirt and material things. It has absolutely no influence and impact in the spiritual realm. That is why it is so important for God's children never to forget that this world is vanity. Everything in it and everything out of it. But as a child of God, you can live for Christ. You can turn what you do in the name of Jesus Christ into something eternal, if only you remember that this earth is reserved for destruction by fire. But there are many voices that say otherwise. Yes, you are right. You think God does not know this? And so God says to us in verse 3 and verse 4, knowing this first, even as the Spirit of God uses the instrument of remembrance to stir your pure minds so that you will never forget, you know this first, that there shall come in the last days, and we are living in the last of the last days, scoffers, mockers. The last day started at the first coming of Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2 tells us, last days of man's rule. So the first coming of Christ is the beginning of the last days. Because after Christ returns, remember, man will rule no more. So the last days of man's rule on earth. And that was 2,000 years ago. Remember this. Mockers will come. They will laugh. They will make a joke out of it. So when you tell them about the destruction, they will be sarcastic, they will mock, they will jeer, and they will laugh you to scorn. Will you be disheartened? Will you be discouraged? Because these people will continue to walk after their own lusts. They have set for themselves a way, a path that they have entered into. And they have personally, individually, put themselves in that path, and they will walk in the direction. And they're not going to get themselves out of it. And when you share with them the truth about the global destruction, they're going to laugh at you and mock at you, because if they were to believe you, they will have to get themselves out of this path that they have set for themselves as the way of life. And what is this path that they have set for themselves that they have been traversing on? That your message of warning of the global destruction, if believed, they will have to get themselves out of it, which they will not want to. Because this path, the Bible describes it as after their own lusts. And so their own heart's desires, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes for the material world, to fulfill whatever the five senses clamors for. And as far as they are concerned, they have already determined and fixed it in their mind and in their heart, in their soul, that this is a successful life, this is the life that I want to live, that before I'm 30, before I'm 50, I must become a multi-millionaire. I must have this and this and this. I must have a house with dogs, with swimming pool, and I must be able to travel to any country in the world according to my heart's content. And they will set their heart in that direction, and they will not be moved. And so when you tell them about global destruction, it will shock them to the core. Because all these aspirations that they have planned with the knowledge of the global destruction will cause their plans to be destroyed, to collapse overnight. But they will not allow that to happen in order for them to continue in their deception, in the way of the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. They will have to scoff at you. They will have to mock. That is what they would do in order for them to continue in the path of lust that they have set for themselves. Because anyone, if they were to believe that the world is destroyed by fire, they will immediately turn to the Savior. Because the world that is destroyed by fire will have in it all sinners who are slaves to sin. That's why they will be destroyed. Because they are sinners and they know they deserve destruction. And that's why God has to destroy them, because of the great wickedness and sins they continue to commit and caused others to commit as well. This is the justice of God. You know the justice of man. Whenever you do something wrong, you know in our country they will be punished. You know that. You agree to that. You accept that. Why is it so hard, therefore, to accept that when men sin against God, God's justice will also require severe punishment? And that means this world will be destroyed because we mess it up. God's world. You have a beautiful house, and then you rent it out. Let's say Airbnb or whatever program that you have listed your house in. Let's say. And then these people who stay in your house for a week or 2 weeks, and they turn the house upside down. They light fire on your beautiful kitchen counter. The kitchen is destroyed. The refrigerator that was brand new, but by the time they finished with it in 2 weeks, it's destroyed. The door hinges are all gone. The door is half hanging on your once upon a time brand new fridge. Then you enter into the bedroom. They splatter paints all over. Filth and dirt that you could never imagine are all on the floor. You dare not even enter the bathroom because of the stench. How would you feel when you let them stay in a house that was first pristine? And then after these people stayed there for 2 weeks, you come back home and you open the door, you smell the stench even before you enter. And the whole place is completely filthy and destroyed. How would you feel? How do you think God feels when God entrusted to man a brand new earth that was without thorns and thistles, that was in pristine condition, only goodness, no hurt, no harm, all safe. The climate was perfect, that Adam and Eve were naked and they were not ashamed and they were comfortable. Perfect condition in everything that you could ever imagine. And then man came and messed it up with sin, with evil, with murder, with all those horrible, horrible criminal acts and sinful acts. And you look at what man is doing today. Fornication, homosexuality, and they call it acceptable. They beautify it. It's sin. They drink, they get drunk. They gamble and gamble and gamble and they promote it. all over the world. If you and I know how to feel angry when your little house is turned upside down and is destroyed, how do you think God feels? When God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for sinners so that man can be converted and be saved, so that man does not have to behave the way that they are behaving right now, full of sin, satisfying the lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes with impunity. God was so patient to allow man after the watery destruction to continue to exist for thousands of years since the time of Noah. It's about, 4,000 over years today. How long more do you want God to be patient and long-suffering? You look at what our world is like today. As a parent, are you not worried and fearful? If one day our school system will teach our children that homosexuality is a beautiful thing, is a very acceptable way of life, you are not afraid for your sons and your daughters? I'm sure you are. You are not afraid for your sons and daughters. Now they are already taught that God never created this world. It just simply evolved. That a grown man and a grown woman can live together and have children and it is fine. It's already an accepted norm globally. Are you not afraid that only in Christ Jesus can there be salvation for your sons and for your daughters? And when they are bombarded by all these evil and lies that is supposed to stink because it is a transgression, but they spray so much perfume on it, and through the multimedia, they have turned something that is ugly and smelly into something that is fragrant and beautiful. And our young people are being affected by it. And they are targeting children if parents will not protect them. Our children will be devastated. Beauty and the Beast. You know, I don't have to say it. You don't have to watch it. The news is all over. They deliberately inserted a gay episode inside. Not there in the movie when it was out in the 1990s, when it was in cartoon form. But now they have deliberately inserted this. The songs may be the same, everything else may be the same, except that part, on purpose. They will not allow you to censor it. Either you take it lock, stock and barrel, or none at all. And in Singapore, they just give it a PG rating. And so you as a parent, are you going to be goaded by your children, pestered into bringing them, where they're going to be bombarded through the eye gate and the ear gate, that homosexuality is going to be a beautiful thing? Or are you going to stand your ground and protect them? Because this is our ugly world that we're living in, the last days, where men will just simply set their own path as dictated and determined by their own lusts. And whenever you warn them about the global destruction that will hopefully awaken them to the seriousness of the sin that they are in and the penalty of sin, which is death and hell, so that they may turn and run to the Savior, they will mock and laugh at you so that they can continue to tread in the path that they have set for themselves according to the lusts that have enslaved them. This is our world. It's evident. It's all over. It's in our school system. It's in our internet. It's along all the main streets of all these first world countries. Don't be ignorant of global destruction by fire. Let our pure minds be stirred using the instrument of remembrance by the Spirit of God, to remember the prophecies of God Almighty that it will surely come. despite the voices of the mockers, know that they have already set for themselves a path of destruction according to their own lusts. Whereby they will say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all the things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. No change. That's a lie. Because from the time of creation, there was a global destruction. The earth was destroyed by God globally by water. You know that there are pastors within our BP circles who would reject the global flood? Do you know that? They believe in a local flood. When we were teaching in FEBC in our early days after we returned from America, there was this talk by an American professor who used to teach us when we were in Biblical Theological Seminary. He was invited by some of the other BP churches, those that do not believe in VPP, those that believe in the local flood rather than the global flood. They got him to teach that the world is billions of years old. Do you know that if you believe the world is billions of years old, you cannot believe in the global flood? Because a global destruction will turn all their dating, whether it is carbon dating or crystal dating, you will turn it out of sync. That's why they must subscribe to a local flood. Because a global flood will cause the whole world, the surface of the earth, to be completely destroyed, shaken to the very core. That their formula of a constant rate of decay, in order for them to work backwards and to calculate how old the world was, will not be applicable. And that's why these so-called professors of theology and pastors have to subscribe to the local flood. And they are the ones who will mock. That since creation, the world had always been, because they reject the global flood. They subscribe to the local flood. That's why it is so deadly and dangerous, because it comes from pastors and seminary professors, and they have written books and articles in Christian journals spread all over the world to deceive. Will you be deceived? Will you listen to the voice of Christ or the voices of men that are tainted by the lies of the devil? Do not be ignorant of the global destruction by fire, despite the voices of the many mockers that continue to increase in numbers in these last days, because they are controlling seminaries, they're controlling churches, they're controlling Bible colleges, and therefore they are in the majority. But truth is not based upon majority. Truth is based upon God's word and God himself. So will you be ignorant, or will you hold firm and never forget the global flood is going to come? Sorry, global destruction by fire is going to come. And no matter how people may mock and believe, even if the whole world will not believe, you will still believe. Because you believe that there was once a global flood. And based upon this reality and this truth, God tells us the evidence is clear. If only your eyes will see. The evidence is clear, verse 5 to verse 7. For this they willingly are ignorant of. They deliberately, purposely, willingly out of their own heart, they wanted this truth to lie hidden to their own heart, blinded by their own lusts, they refused to see. That's the meaning of this word ignorant of. It's not like other words. This word ignorant is not like the others. The others, because they did not know. No knowledge. This one, they have knowledge, because the global flood, the evidence is all around us. But they purposely close their eyes like a man who can see, but he doesn't want to open his eyes. He purposely shut his eyes and don't want to see. That's the idea here. It's not that there's no knowledge. The evidence of the global flood is all around us. They just simply reinterpret it using different glasses, the glasses called evolution. That's all. So that they can negate God's existence, so that they will erase the hand of God in creation. That's why this word tells us they willingly close their eyes and refuse to see, even though the evidence of the global flood is all around us. So that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. The evidence is there. You go to Grand Canyon, you go to many of these countries where you can see water levels. You can see hardened seashells, sea creatures, thousands of feet above sea levels. How did all these come about? You and I know that if something like this dies in the ocean today, they do not become sedimentary rocks sealed in layers of rock thousands of feet above sea level, if not for a global catastrophe that will suddenly change in temperature that will freeze them so that they will not have a time to slowly decay. Because that's exactly what you see in oceans when things die. They will just slowly decay. The evidence is clear. If only men would open their eyes and see. But they willingly don't want to see. What about you? Are you going to openly refuse to see, or will you want to open your eyes and see? Because if you are in sin, know that this world is going to be destroyed by fire. And if you are in this time of destruction by Christ as a sinner, you're going to die in your sin and you're going to end up in hell. That's why God gave us these prophecies to warn us, all of us without exception. Check your salvation to make sure of your salvation. Because if you are truly born again in Christ and you have truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior with all your heart, you have a pure mind. You will believe and embrace and hold on to this truth that God has revealed to us through the writing of His Apostle Peter. That you will no longer live your life the way it was. You'll no longer long after earthly accolades and the things of the world. You will only live for things eternal and things spiritual that are not found on this earth. You only care for your children's spiritual well-being, and through their studies, they are just simply avenues that will help them grow spiritually. They are not the end in itself. They are just the avenues that they will learn to pray, that they will learn to witness, they will learn to be holy and righteous and godly. That's how they live on this earth as God's children. When their pure minds are stirred, when God brings it to remembrance, and they know that everything on this earth, no matter how beautiful it may seem, no matter how it may appear to have the semblance of eternity, but you know they are all reserved for destruction by fire. No matter how huge the mountain is, it will be destroyed. No matter how it may look indestructible, it will be destroyed. Do you believe in this? Don't listen to the voices of the mockers. The evidence is clear all around us. The effect of the global flood is the guarantee that there will be a global destruction by fire. Verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word that God used and declared and destroyed the world by water, is the same word that God now tells us that this world is kept in store, is reserved for destruction by fire against the day of judgment and against the perdition of ungodly men. The word perdition is the ruination. You look at how the world is being ruined by ungodly men. Every city, every country that man dwells in, man ruins it. I did not know that there are many parts of Indonesia are so beautiful. Until one day when I was working in Indonesia, my colleague and I, we took a train all the way up to Bandung. I never knew Indonesia was so beautiful because Bandung is quite elevated, and at the time when we were there, it was very cool and nice, like Cameron Highlands. I did not know it was so beautiful. Just like when we were in Kenya, I did not know Kenya was such a beautiful country with the Mount Kilimanjaro. All there in the backdrop, the scenery, the beauty. But the roads were terrible. the cities smelly and dirty. Why? It's because of man. Man messed things up because of sin, because of evil, because of the lusts that continue to consume man. That's why you must not be ignorant that this world of ours is reserved by God Almighty for destruction by fire. If you do not believe in this, you're going to be destroyed together with everything that is in it. Only in Christ Jesus can your sins be forgiven, that you can get yourself out of this global destruction, because the destruction will come from God Himself. You can't dig a hole and protect yourself. There is nowhere you can hide, not in the deepest ocean, not in the highest mountain. No one will escape, because God is the one who will destroy this earth that He gave to man to dwell in, which was once a beautiful earth. But because man has messed it up so badly, and so God says, man will pay the price. And that price is, I will destroy this earth with fire to burn it up so that I can start it all over again when Christ will rule for the next 1,000 years. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God has sent to die for your sins, so that you will escape the global destruction that will surely come. If you do not accept Jesus Christ as Lord and your Savior, the only hope, know this, that you are born in sin, and you are still in sin. Whether Christ comes or does not come, know that you are a sinner. But God loves you, and He sent Jesus Christ to die for you. Do not turn Jesus Christ away. Truly, with all your heart, accept Him as your Lord and your Savior. That's all you need to do. And repent of your sin and believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He was punished. He took your punishment that you deserve because of your sin. And God will forgive you. And all your sins will be washed. And God raised Jesus up from the dead to let you know that I have accepted what Jesus Christ has done for you as sufficient to take away all your sins. All you need to do to get yourself out of this global destruction by fire is to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. No other way. And brethren, if you truly have already, do you have a pure mind? Will you be moved by scoffers? Are you able to see clearly? The evidence is all around us. The global destruction by water is the guarantee that there will be a global destruction by fire. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, may Thy Holy Spirit speak to every heart. To those who are outside Christ and in sin, may Thy Holy Spirit bring conviction, that they may see and understand that in this world it is filled with vanity and hopelessness. And as long as man is in sin, and when destruction comes and they die in sin, what awaits man is death and hell. O Lord, may Thou be merciful to open the eyes of such a one and cause this person to humble himself and come before the Lord Jesus Christ and truly, with all his heart, unconditionally surrender his life and accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior in humble, genuine repentance. And we pray, Father, for all of us who claim to know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. May our pure minds be stirred and never ever forget that this world is a world of vanity and sin, and it is reserved for destruction by fire. No matter how man may mock and scoff, may we never be deterred, but to continue to believe and to hold on to Thy truth and to seek after eternal things. For the evidence is very clearly presented all around us. If only we have eyes to see, may we see. For Jesus' sake, help us in these last days, the sons and daughters of the Most High God may truly shine brightly in this world of great spiritual darkness. And by our good works, may friends, family members see Christ in us and believe the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, thus bringing glory and honor to Thy holy name. For only in Christ will they be delivered from the global destruction by fire that will soon come. For this we ask with thanksgiving, in Jesus' name. Amen.